Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 417, the stanzas 1 and 2. Ascend forth, O Lord, of my salvation, thy light and truth to be my guide. O let their rays in my privation lead me unto thy habitation. And what follows, Psalter 417, the first two stanzas.
Thank you.
portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in 1 Corinthians 11, the verses 1 through 30. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Corinthians 11, the first 30 verses. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, heaven is head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one, as if she were shaven. But if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. And neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head, because of the angels. And nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her. For her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. And now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, every one take before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, and not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for an indispensable blessing. Merciful Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then how good, how gracious, how long-suffering thou art over us and our children. Then on this Lord's Day, for the second time, the doors of thy house have been opened, and in the midst of sickness, then the greater part of the congregation may come up to thy house. Wilt thou grant a humble and a thankful heart than in nature, than for our sickness, than thou hast provided medicine, doctors, and hospitals. We read in thy word of the pool of Bethesda, where there were five porches with many different sicknesses. Lord, and now also in thy house, then we have that spiritual sickness. And for the greater part of the congregation, they feel no pain and no sorrow. Then we humbly beg of thee that in this evening hour, that thy word may be used by thy Spirit, that there may be those souls beholding themselves in the mirror of thy holy law, that they may feel, that they may experience, oh, their deadly disease, and be given to cry unto thee for thy mercy. Lord, then in this evening hour, it is an hour of preparation, an hour of examination, when thou grantest it, then on the coming Lord's Day, the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ hopes to be administered in the midst of the congregation. Ah, Lord, then our whole life should be a life of examination and of preparation. The Lord's Supper hopes to be administered in a week, but we know not the day of our death. Only one step, one breath, one heartbeat, and we are in eternity. Lord, come down in this evening hour with thy Holy Spirit, and remember young and old. O King of the Church, then we humbly ask thee to place a watch upon about thy holy table. It is thy cause, it is thy kingdom, it is thy glory. Those who have received a divine right, may they receive instruction, may they hear thy voice, may thou draw them, wilt thou grant them a prepared place. And those that are strangers to what is necessary to know, to attend the holy supper of the Lord, wilt thou refrain them. Lord, to that end, do bless thy word in this evening hour. Thou knowest how that each and every one has come up to thy house. May there be souls that have need of instruction, of comfort, encouragement, need of light, when there are souls that know the way no more, wilt thou be the way for them. Lord, bless the means of grace the midst of us and our children, thy word accompanied with many providential callings, and also by thy goodness and by thy blessings, may it be thy goodness that leadeth to repentance, ah Lord. Thou still granteth the place under the truth of thy holy word. Law and gospel may still be proclaimed. Many shortcomings may still be proclaimed, that there is a Savior who can save to the uttermost, a Savior that can save the chiefest of sinners, our Lord. The work of the Spirit to make us so, and also the work of the Spirit to reveal it, and the work of the Spirit to apply it. We commend unto thee the established churches. We commend unto thee the persecuted church. We remember the beloved for the Father's sake. We remember mission work, also our mission field, thy servant, the team. And then by renewal we commend unto thee husband and wife who have begun their language studies in this past week. Wilt thou continue to help them? May their eyes be upon thee. Cannot be different times they shall be overwhelmed. As so impossible. But, our Lord, may thee have an eye for the purpose that the seed of thy holy word may be sown. By renewal we commend unto thee the three family circles who have been blessed with the little child. Strengthen, Mother, may the prayers be multiplied. And then, Lord, we commend unto thee the father and mother, their children, that have stood on the cemetery this past week to bury their little son. Wilt thou uphold, wilt thou comfort, and wilt thou sanctify. We commend unto thee widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought dear children and other loved ones to the grave. The place has remained so empty, ah Lord. May they be richly sanctified. We remember all sick and afflicted ones, the mother in the hospital. Oh, do graciously spread thy wings over her. Wilt thou grant healing and strengthening. Remember her together with her husband and children. Grant a special place at thy footstool. Remember all in special ways who are under the physician's care, taking treatments. Thou knowest the fears. Thou knowest the concerns. We remember handicapped ones, crosses, burdens, scars, those that struggle with addictions and temptations, O Lord. Grant a prayer for one another, May we be given to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We commend unto these sick relatives the circumstances are known unto thee. In the day of tomorrow, a widow hopes to commemorate her 81st birthday, and on this birthday, not only with the loss of a dear husband, but also with the loss of a dear daughter, Lord uphold, wilt thou remember later in this week, a husband and wife hope to commemorate a special milestone that thou was carried for 45 years on their pathway in holy matrimony. Grant them a humble and a broken heart. Remember with the family circle. Remember for body and soul. Wilt thou remember all the elderly ones? Lord, we now humbly ask thee for fresh anointing from above, the opening of thy word. May it be granted in this hour that we may be given to believe what we speak, and then speak what we believe, and that thy word may go forth with power divine, O Lord. Do then a great work amongst us in the latter days of the earth. Shall it not greatly be to thy honor when many jewels from amongst us and our children may be added to the meritorial crown of King Jesus? Shall thy name not be greatly glorified when many may be placed as soldiers under the banner of King Jesus? Our Lord, then do it for thy honor. And so by renewal, we have many things to ask, many blessings and privileges to thank thee for. May we be humbled thereunder, and nothing to plead upon. Forgive us of all of our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Psalter 310, the stanzas 1 through 5. I love the Lord for my request and humble plea. He makes his care in him through life. My faith shall rest, for he both hears and answers prayer. And what follows, Psalter 310, the first five stanzas. Thank you. In this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Psalm 116, the verses 1 through 5. As Psalm 116, the first 5 verses were God's word, and our text reads thus. I love the Lord, because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. And therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. And then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. Our text words speak of the psalmist experiential knowledge of the Lord, with 4 thoughts. In the first place, the psalmist's love to the Lord. Secondly, the psalmist's sorrow concerning the Lord. Thirdly, the psalmist needed deliverance from the Lord. And in the fourth place, the psalmist's confession regarding the mercies of the Lord. The psalmist experiential knowledge of the Lord. First, the psalmist love to the Lord. Secondly, the psalmist sorrow concerning the Lord. Thirdly, the psalmist needed deliverance from the Lord. And in the fourth place, the psalmist confession regarding the mercies of the Lord. Beloved congregation, when the Lord shall spare us, and when the Lord shall grant it, and then on the coming Lord's Day, then by renewal, the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ shall be administered in the midst of the congregation. And then we have heard the exhortation of Paul by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the Corinthians, let so a man examine himself and eat of that bread and drink of that wine. And he that drinketh unworthily drinketh damnation to himself. And now that examination, and then there should not only be a preparation and an examination and a week of preparation, but then our whole life should be a life of preparation and of examination, because we cannot meet the Lord as we are born. We must be born again. And now the Lord has given unto us the precious gift of his holy word. and that we may examine and that we would know, because what a solemn thing it would be if we would have to travel through this life and then wait for the end, the moment of our death, to see if it was right. And therefore we are called to examine our hearts and our lives according to this word. And now that word that excludes and that includes. And the Lord has a people upon the earth by his grace that know of those matters. They cannot include themselves. That is the work of the Spirit in the way of application. And now to examine each of our hearts, and that includes young and old, also our boys and girls and our youth. It is true, and not a church right, but we all stand in need of the same. And then also the young called upon to lay their hearts beside Psalm 116. Concerning that examination, that includes all, also the unconverted. Psalm 116, it is not recorded, not written, who the author has been. Of course, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Among commentators, then there are different thoughts. It is clear that this psalm was written in trials and afflictions, and where the Lord has granted a great deliverance, although it is clear that this psalm speaks not only from temporal deliverance, but that it also speaks of soul's deliverance. There are some that believe perhaps David, others Hezekiah, when he was restored from his sickness, or from the Assyrians, and others also speak of the deliverance of the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. A Jewish tradition tells us that this psalm is one of the Hallel Psalms. They are Psalm 113 through Psalm 118. I read in Matthew 26, verse 30, before that the Lord Jesus Christ has went down into Gethsemane, that he has sung a hymn, and it is believed one of these psalms, possible Psalm 116, and to that end, that commentators are also given to speak that this is a messianic psalm in the state of his humiliation, but also in the state of his exaltation. Then this psalm was also sung. These psalms, the Hallel Psalms, they were sung with the celebration of the three great feasts of the Israelites. It was also sung at the feast of the Passover. And then, boys and girls, what was now the most important in the Passover feast? Then you shall say that was the Lamb that was set apart 4 days before, the Lamb that was slain, the Lamb whose blood has been gathered, the blood which has been applied to the side post and the top of the door, and where the Lord has said in Exodus 12, verse 13, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Then for the Israelites, was not sufficient, in our text words, then we may hear the experience of the living, regenerated child of God. That is an experience of the heart. But for the Israelites, for everything, and they have experienced much. Moses and Aaron were sent unto them with the proclamation of deliverance. In the way of God's providence, they have experienced much. A separation from Egypt, also concerning the plagues, at least the latter plagues. But what was now necessary? And the Lord has a people upon the earth that is taught, that learns it, that with everything they have experienced, and when the Lord works, we shall experience matters more than emotion and feeling, young and old. By the work of the Spirit, we need to become the poor, the lost sinner. Paul has spoken of the chiefest of sinners, and that is a people that is taught that they cannot save themselves. And now it is the work of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of the true children of God to make room for that precious Lamb, that precious Jesus. I read in John 1, verse 29, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Then in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, then that precious Lamb may be so richly portrayed in the signs and the seals of the Lord's Supper, the broken bread and the poured out wine. And how the psalmist is given to begin. Oh, precious words. And the Lord has a people upon the earth who may experience it and may know it and may rejoice in it. And oftentimes first in the inner chamber, that they may tell the Lord they have made that good choice. And to that end, in our first point, the psalmist's love to the Lord. There needs to be a beginning, young and old. The beginning needs to be right. And in Galatians 5, verse 6, I read that faith worketh by love. That is a gift which Christ has merited for his church. And in the moment of regeneration, then he grants that love, then he grants that faith, and then he grants that hope. The psalmist declares in our text, I love the Lord. That means that by the instruction and the enlightening of the Holy Spirit, that he has received a knowledge of the Lord. Because our boys and girls, it is true, when the Lord begins that work, their knowledge is very small. Still much that is unknown, but God has become real, and they have learned to know him in his essence, in his attributes, and in his works. And now when the psalmist has declared, I love the Lord, that was an expression, that was a confession, that has come out of the bottom of his heart. Thus that is the first point of examination. Boys and girls, young people, older ones, do you now love the Lord? That is the crucial question. And when we may love the Lord, that shall not remain hidden. That becomes manifest in the fruits. Then we love the attributes of the Lord, all of them. Not only his goodness, his mercy, his long-suffering, but also his holiness and righteousness. And then we learn what sinners we are. I love the Lord. Then that is a love for everything that pertains to the Lord. Then that people is given to love and reverence his word. That people is given to love his law, although it all condemns them. That people is given to love his day. Oh, what a special day it becomes. A day of rejoicing. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will be glad and rejoice in it. Then that people is given to love his house. Oh, the desire to go up to the courts of the Lord. Psalm 27 verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the courts of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Oh, those are the things of Christ. Those are the things of free and sovereign grace. Those are the things of Jesus Christ. And to inquire in his temple. Then that people is given to love his people, all with a holy jealousy. They are so timid. And then they shall not offend and grieve that people. Oh, they have a desire. Psalm 119, verse 63. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and that love thy precepts. Then that people is given to make that good choice with the Ruth. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. And then the psalmist in our text, then he is given a special reason why he loved the Lord, has experienced difficulties and trials, and then he has expressed, because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Then the psalmist has tasted of the sweet things of the Lord. Then the psalmist, it is clear, was given to pour out his heart before the Lord, to tell the Lord everything. And when we read, because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, oh, already a blessing. I read in Psalm 34, verse 6, this poor man cried, oh, are there a few poor ones in my midst? This poor man cried, and the Lord heard me, and delivered me out of all my distresses. A difference, it is true. In the scriptures, those words heard and answered many times, used interchangeably, and nevertheless the difference, the Lord has a people that knows the difference between a hearing, and what a privilege and what a blessing it is when there is a hearing at the heavenly court. All the church needs to be taught concerning that Lamb, that it is through the Lamb that their prayers are heard, then that people experience such a sweetness, those secret places where they may pour out their heart, and where they may experience that their prayers go higher than the ceiling, a hearing in the heavenly court, when there may be those times as with a Hannah, as I read in 1 Samuel 1, that she was no more sad. When the Lord condescends with his love and peace in the heart, with a faith to believe that the Lord has not only heard, but will also answer. Oh, a time of waiting further, because we read, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Thus the psalmist, that word incline, that is to bend. Then the psalmist has experienced those tokens of his divine favor, that as poor sinners, they may be at his footstool, where they may come with all their blessings, with their needs, but above all with their sins. Oh, awaiting people, because there is a difference. Are there still a few souls with unheard prayers, unanswered prayers? A few souls that may believe that the Lord has heard, but no answer yet has found relief. Happens also in family life. Sometimes children, maybe they go to mother, where they think maybe mother shall easier give it than father, and that they come with a special request to mother, and that mother hears and listens. Says, children, I will discuss it with father, and then you shall receive an answer. Then those children, they receive a hearing ear, but they do not yet have an answer. They are waiting. But now the psalmist may declare, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Thus that is a resolution. That is a choice. Then the psalmist is given to declare that I shall remain at the throne of grace. The disciples have said in John 6, Lord, to whom else shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Thus, for the soul to remain as a servant, as a handmaiden, at the footstool of the Lord. I love the Lord. Need more to come to the Lord's Supper. But the beginning needs to be right. Thus the question is, do you love the Lord? I have read of a little boy about 8 years old, and his memorization text was the first verse of Psalm 116. And then his father has examined his boy whether he has memorized well. That is the duty of fathers and mothers concerning catechism, school, whether their children are diligent, also concerning the memorization of what they are called to memorize. And then that boy of 8 years, he has quoted this text perfectly. And then father had a question. He says, my boy, do you now love the Lord? And that little boy, he has memorized it perfectly, but he has not given it so much thought. And then he has left his father. He was given to ponder over that question. And then he had to answer that he did not love the Lord. And the Lord used the question of father for his conversion. Then that little boy. Then he was given to ask the Lord that the Lord would place that love in his heart for the Lord, that he may belong to the blessed people of God. Nevertheless, the first two verses, oh, that love, that is a wonderful thing. When the Spirit grants unto a soul to taste of the sweetness of the service of the Lord, then such a soul with those daughters of Jerusalem in Song of Solomon chapter 5, they may gather many goodly pearls, and they are so precious, and they are so valued. But it is now the Holy Spirit's work to bring a poor sinner to a knowledge of that precious Savior. And with the first two verses, when we would ask such a soul, all precious things, more than intellectual knowledge, more than some emotion and feeling, convictions of the conscience, some contemplation of the truth, these are the precious things of the Lord. But now, soul, with the first two verses, can you now meet the judge? With the first two verses, what about the justice of God? Oh, then it is the work of the Spirit to teach those matters. And so we come to our next point, the solemnest sorrow concerning the Lord. Let us first sing Psalter 12, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Lord, rebuke me not in anger. Chastened sore I waste away. Pity my distress and hear me. Lord, how long wilt thou delay? And what follows Psalter 12, the first three stanzas. Secondly, the psalmist's sorrow concerning the Lord. I love the Lord. What a terrible thing it is to hate the Lord, to be at enmity. At warfare with that great and majestic God to still a privilege when by the common goodness of God we do not live it out. But I read in Romans 8 verse 7 that the carnal mind is enmity against God. And then we can understand with our mind that we can never win it of the Lord. And how terrible it shall be to appear before judgment as an enmity, as an enemy. And then that hatred shall be fully revealed. But, oh, young and old, the King is still gathering his church by word and by spirit. And, oh, then my unconverted fellow travelers beg the Lord continually. Also, when you come up to God's house, that from an enemy you may be made a friend. Oh, that blessed exchange by the grace of God. The King is still gathering. I love the Lord. And then let us also mention, then the psalmist has said in verse 2, before we go to verse 3, therefore will I call. I read that the apostle Paul has written to the Corinthians, and 2 Corinthians 1 verse 10, who have delivered us from so great a death and shall deliver, and trust that he shall deliver. Those tokens of the Lord's goodness, what a courage. Psalmist is prayed in Psalm 86 verse 17. Give me a token for good. Have a few souls come up and beg for a little token of the Lord's favor. Have souls come up in this evening hour that have begged for a soft heart, that have begged for that love in their heart. The church learns that it is all grace. And, oh, in the beginning, then how tender and how real. I love the Lord, heard my voice, my supplication. The Lord inclined his ear, and that is so manifest in the fruits. Desires many a tear, but the church shall learn that it is all of grace. The Spirit shall teach with that Passover could be the herbs, the sauce, but what would the Passover be without the lamb and without the blood? Have we learned it? I read in Hebrews 9 verse 22 that without blood there is no remission. And now the psalmist, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Thus the psalmist was given to express that he would not live forever, do we believe it, congregation? Do we believe it? Not asking about your neighbor, whether they must and shall die, but I am asking you, has it become real as long as I live? No, not the day of my death. And Lord, I need to be prepared. Oh, work then lovely and irresistibly by thy Holy Spirit in my heart. And as long as I live with that love, the Spirit teaches his child, oh, it is true. Are those times when the Lord inclines his ear, when he sheds that love abroad, that it can seem that that love that takes away that breach and that their sins may be covered? But I read in the prophet Isaiah that Zion shall be redeemed with judgment. And to that end, the psalmist is given to continue the sorrows of death compassed me. Oh, then in that third verse, then the Lamb becomes necessary. The same is with the children of Israel. The sorrows of death can pass me, because at midnight, then the Lord shall send that destroying angel. And then there was a lamb necessary, a lamb set apart, a lamb slain, that blood applied. And now it is the work of the Spirit. We read, the sorrows of death can pass me. The psalmist exercised with death, and that first sorrow, because we read two times sorrow in verse 3, that first word sorrow, that refers to cords. So it is translated in the Dutch Bible. And then it can refer to a creditor that comes to a debtor that owns a great sum, and that such a person is bound with cords, and that he is taken to the judge. The sorrows of death, when the Lord works, then we have much to do with death and with eternity. Then especially in the beginning, later, then oftentimes that people have to complain of a hard and stony heart. And people of God, it is a blessing when it may become a living complaint, and that we come at the Lord's footstool. But when the Lord begins and he shows us that we must die, that we must appear before our Maker. Oh, then there can be times, Sunday evening, that we are given to be wonder, that anyone can talk of anything else but of their soul and of death and the blessed portion of the people of God, because the Spirit, oh, let us not deceive our poor souls. The Spirit shall teach His people that they are poor, that they are lost sinners with a sin-sick soul. Matthew 9, verse 12, they that are whole need not the physician, but those that are sick. The sorrows of death, they can pass me. We read in our text, and the pains of hell, they got hold of me. Oh, and that uncovering work, then the Lamb becomes so necessary and so indispensable. The pains of hell, when the Lord works, the Lord's people, they have much to do. Oh, we live in a time that it seems that there is a bypassing of the justice and righteousness of that great and majestic God, so holy, so pure, that He cannot behold iniquity. In the life of the true child of God, then Christ shall be revealed from behind the justice of God. The pains of hell, ah, then that people is given to think much of eternity. They are assured that they must die one step between us and death. And then they are given to meditate much upon eternity. Oh, the blessed portion which Christ has merited, those prepared mansions where the church, the end, may receive a place at their death with their souls, the great day of judgment, body and soul, where they shall see Him whom their soul loveth, where the praises shall flow continually out of their lips, and where there shall be none that are sick, no weariness, a sign shall flee away. But also given to meditate upon their rightful place, the pains of hell got hold of me. Given to think what they deserve. Oh, could they undo what they have done? The church learns the exceeding sinfulness of sin, to be given to meditate the place. Oh, and then the thought to come in a place where they shall curse the God whom they have learned to love, to esteem, to honor. Oh, what grants the greatest joy, the pains of hell, they get hold of me. And then further, I found trouble and sorrow. Those words in the original, they are closely connected. When we consider those words, trouble and sorrow, it separates the precious from the vile. Many a trouble upon the earth, Job 14, verse 1, man that is born of a woman is full of trouble, and a few days as a consequence of our deep fallen Adam, then there are many troubles. O congregation, the Lord grants many blessings. Nevertheless, many troubles. And now concerning the prayer of the first two verses, then when we have the Bible knowledge of God and that troubles come, then there shall be prayer according to the command of God. And we even have examples in the Bible where the Lord hears the unconverted, but in itself not a foundation for eternity. Oh, those words, trouble and sorrow, they separate the precious from the vile. There can be much concern, many exercises concerning the consequences of sin. But when the Spirit works, then it is not only about the consequences, but then it is about the character of sin, that we have offended, provoked, and grieved such a good doing and such a just God. And that worketh that godly sorrow, as I read in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10, that godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance, not to be repented of. In the Dutch, there is spoken of benauwdheid. The older ones know what that word is. That refers to a tightness, everything so closed up. That people under conviction, they know what it is. Congregation, our second point, the solemn sorrow concerning the Lord. And now in that sorrow, we read of that sorrowful people. Jeremiah 31 verse 9, that they shall come with weeping and with supplication. And in the Beatitudes, in Matthew 5 verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, Thus, 2 points in the context. We have stated these solemns, this solemn, also sung at the Passover, and it centers around the Lamb, a beautiful portrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the Lamb without blemish that was slain, who was given himself for the chiefest of sinners. And now upon those first 2 points, then the psalmist was not given to rest. We can rest upon the first 2 points. Then we do well to examine ourselves. It is true, the Lord does grant those elims. And now to be exercised at the throne of grace, a blessed portion, but does it now satisfy justice? Justice needs to be satisfied. And then our third point must close for this evening. The Lord's Supper, it concerns a saving and experiential knowledge, concerning the Lamb of God, because Christ has said, do this in remembrance of me. And to that end, the psalmist has continued, then, upon that experience, oh, he was given to urgently, the Lord grant that calling, and for the people of God, necessary, a privilege, a blessing, when we may hear, we deceive not our souls, because the true people of the Lord, they examine themselves oftentimes, whether it is right, and beg the Lord to grant an other token. And then the prayer of the psalmist, for the children of Israel, they needed to be delivered in that night. They needed the blood of the Lamb, the broken bread, and the poured out wine, all points to the precious Lord Jesus Christ. And then he has continued, then called I upon the name of the Lord, O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The psalmist in Psalm 85, verse 10, has declared, and that may be proclaimed, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, mercy and truth are met together, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may humbly thank thee for another Lord's Day, an opportunity to come to thy house. I was granted yet a few words to speak. Ah, wilt thou grant the application? Ah, Lord, to those that love thee not, 'tis written in thy word, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Maranatha, grant the application. May it be turned into prayer. Wilt thou grant unto thy children the examination concerning the Lamb of God that exercises therewith? Ah, may we be found as needy beggars at the throne of the King. We may commence another week. Lord, we humbly ask thee, may it please thee to spare us. Commend unto thee the mothers with the children at home, at work, on the way, wherever we are called to be. Keep from harm and danger, sin and temptation. We commend unto thee all the sick. Ah, make it profitable for our never dying souls. Bring us together for a weekday service to hear further what is necessary. Bring us now safely to our homes. Ah, grant meditations. And may many prayers be sent up unto heaven for us and our dear children. Forgive us of all of our sins in speaking and in listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 384. And let us only sing 1 and 5. O Lord, my inmost heart and thought, thy searching eye doth see. Wherever I rest, wherever I go, my ways are known to thee. And what follows, 384, only 1 and 5.
Thank you.
grace, save the blessing of the Lord, and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.